Welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlicks.com. PureFlicks.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on? It's Billy Hollowell, and you are listening to the Pure Flicks Podcast. And I got to tell you, I am really excited for today's show because we are talking about two of the films that are streaming right now on Pure Flicks. There's a modern take on Little Women. Now, we all know Little Women. It's one of the most famous books. And what's interesting about this particular film, also called Little Women, it's based on the book, it has kind of a modern twist, and I don't want to spoil it for you. You can watch it over at PureFlix, but we're going to be sitting down with Melanie Stone on the show today. She plays Meg in the movie. She's going to talk about some of the similarities that she sees between herself, you know, in real life and the character she played. She's going to talk about the classic Little Women and really so much more, what we can take away from this important, powerful film. And so with no further ado, let's welcome Melanie Stone to the Pure Flicks Podcast. Melanie, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I am well, and I'm super excited that you're chatting with us. You are obviously the star of Little Women. You've done lots of other films and shows, and I want to get into talking about Little Women. But before we do, I'm always curious to know people's backgrounds, what it was that motivated them to get into Hollywood. So what was sort of your journey into the industry?
Yeah, this might sound kind of silly, but I've always felt just called to acting and performing, storytelling. And I think there's been a few times where I've tried to do other things, and every time I'd get steered right back into performing. I was just always something that I enjoyed, and it always felt like a safe place. I felt like I belonged there. It was like, okay, this feels right. And then as far as like getting started, it just kind of happened. Like I grew up doing it. I was a theater kid growing up. And then in college, after college, I ended up joining this improv troupe. It was long form improv, and it was amazing, just in terms of learning how to let go of controlling so much, because it's like, it's improv, you have to go with the flow. But that's where I got my first commercial gig. Somebody approached me after like one of our shows and was like, hey, do you want to be in this commercial we're shooting? It pays $200. And I was like, what? I can get paid? Like, yes, I'm in. So from there, it just kind of snowballed into other things. And here I am today talking to you.
Would you have ever thought, as you sort of got into it, you were a theater kid, you said, that, you know, one day you'd be sitting here talking about a movie that you were in, that your career would go that way? Like at the beginning, did you think that, or did you think this is something I just really love doing?
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be my hobby. I thought it was just going to be that thing that I go to when I get stressed by life things, and that it was going to be that, you know. To me, it was like, oh, wow, that's so big. Like, do I dare dream that big? So I'm so grateful that it like turned out the way it has. And, I didn't think that I would get to do this, for a career. So I feel very,
yeah. The biggest benefit, the positive, let's start with that, because I want to talk about the challenges of this job, because I think the rest of the world sort of watches actors and it's really easy to assume, oh, this is an easy job. It's actually not an easy job. And we'll talk about that. But what has been the biggest blessing of this career for you?
I think it's getting to meet people that I just really connect with. And I feel, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess I feel seen, and then I'm also able to help other people feel seen. And I don't mean seen as in like, I'm in a movie. It's just having those connections with people where you're really resonating and vibing off each other, essentially, and you're learning and you're growing and you're becoming a better person. And being able to do, to tell stories for a living, like that is, it's so cool because you get to like see other people's perspectives and you get to put yourself in other people's shoes and you get to really cultivate a sense of empathy and understanding things that you normally wouldn't think about. So that to me has been, I think the biggest blessing is the growth.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And you mentioned feeling called to it too. So when you feel called to something, being able to live that out, meet other people who are called to it as well and journey through it. And so I guess the natural question that sort of pops out at me hearing you say that, what goes into what roles you choose? Are there certain roles you wouldn't choose? Like what sort of helps you make that decision where something's in front of you, a script or a concept, and you can say, that's what I need, that's what I want to do. Or you could say, I want nothing to do with that. What determines that for you?
Yeah, I think it's based off of a feeling. It's like a gut feeling. And a lot of it has to do with the type of people that are doing the project. Like, do I feel connected to them? Do I feel that it'll be a safe environment? And like, what's the material? Like, what are we trying to say here? And it doesn't have to be profound. Like, it's just like, what is this something that I want to put my energy into? And I try to pay attention to like what I'm experiencing internally. Like, does that feel right? Does that give me anxiety? Like, why is it giving me anxiety? Does that mean I need to walk away from it? You know?
Right.
Cause yeah, in the past, I'd say recently I've started doing this, but in the past I just felt fortunate to be working. So I created a habit of just being like, yes, I'll do it. Yes, yes, yes. And I had to learn the hard way that maybe I shouldn't have said yes to that. And not necessarily that they were like bad or anything, but it wasn't a good fit. Yeah. So I'm grateful that I can finally be in this place where I'm like, okay, pause before you say yes. How are you feeling about it?
Is it the right fit? And, you know, I look at Little Women and let's talk about that, because this film, which is streaming on PureFlix right now, it's a different look. There are some twists on the Little Women story. So I want to get into that. But what was it about this that made you say yes? What was it about this film where you said, yeah, this is a movie that I do want to be a part of?
Yeah. Well, it had a lot to do with the director, Claire Nedeprum. She's amazing. I've worked with her before. And I really believed in her and her capability as a director. And I wanted to work with her. So that was like a huge factor. Just seeing somebody that I was like, yeah, I believe in this person and I want to be a part of their journey as a director. Cause this was her first film that she was directing. And I think, I just thought it was cool that there were so many women that were involved with it. Like I have five sisters.
Oh wow.
So there's nine in my family. So I have five sisters. And so just the Little Women story, that dynamic, it was like that. It's very familiar to me. I mean, I was a middle child. I wasn't the oldest sister. So it was cool to jump into like a different role, like on the sister dynamic. So the content and then working with people that I wanted to work with.
And there's a little bit of a twist on this, right? It's sort of the modern era of Little Women. I mean, this is obviously a historical story. People know this. They love it. It's probably one of the most, popular stories that around, in this country. Lots of films have been made on it. This one's a little bit different. Can you talk about that in terms of the feel and the time period and all of that?
Yeah. So you're right. Like, it's this timeless story. So there was a lot of pressure there. So I think the big thing for us in telling this story in a new setting, in a modern setting, was like maintaining the essence of the story and making sure that we were still hitting those themes that feel kind of timeless, like family and sibling dynamics and dealing with loss and chasing your dreams and in an environment that, you feel like you're pushing up against a wall a little bit. So I think that's like we were focused on making sure that came through in the story.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and you played Meg. So talk a little bit about that. How do you, because you're, again, you have all that pressure, right, of the past and of these other renditions of it, and then you have the present and how it's being framed. Mm-hmm. What was it like to play Meg and bring that character to life?
Yeah, so Meg, once again, like as I was saying, I'm a middle child, so I really had to like tap into that oldest sister dynamic. And thankfully I have a sister, my oldest sister, she's such an incredible example to me. And so it was easy to just view her as an example. What's interesting about Meg to me is that, in like the past renditions, like Meg's dream was very much in line with what was already pretty normal. It was like, get married and have kids. And then you put it in this modern day setting and her wanting to just get married and have kids. It was something that Joe was like, are you kidding? Like, what else? What else are you going to do? You can't just do that. And it was like, no, Meg really, she really wanted that. That's what she wanted. That was her dream. Like she wasn't feeling pressured by anybody to do that. That's what she wanted to do. And so to me, that was kind of a cool little like flip. Because in the past it was like, no, that's normal. That's a very normal thing. And then now she's wanting to do something that I think, and I have been guilty of that, like viewing some of my sisters with like, oh, you're just going to get married and have kids. Well, what else? What else are you going to do? You know? And like, that's not fair. Like if that's what they want and if that's what makes them happy, like I should support that and at least respect it or accept it, you know?
Absolutely. Right. Right. Absolutely. The ability to have the choice to do whatever it is you feel called to do. And that's a powerful message. And so when you think about the movie, you know, people have had a chance to see this film. Obviously, it has been out for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. It's now hitting, you know, PureFlix and audiences are being reintroduced to it. What is your hope for what the audience might think and feel? I know as a group, you all came together to do this. It's a big undertaking. You did a phenomenal job. So what's the takeaway for the audience?
I'd like for it to challenge their thinking on their own family dynamic. Like we don't choose the family that we're born into, but we do choose like what we invest into that family dynamic. And so I think just planting that thought, like what does family mean to you and what are you investing or, you know, like that sort of thing. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I mean, that's so important because I think a lot of times we think as human beings, what am I getting out of any structure, right? Family, work, whatever. We don't always think, and we should, what am I investing? What am I contributing to this family, right? And so that is an amazing way that, again, we should be thinking that way. I don't think we always do. Sometimes we think about ourselves first. And so that's a very solid message. I love that.
Cool.
So I'm going to ask you one last question. And this one I've been asking everybody that I interview because, I don't know, I'm probably putting you on the spot, but I'm going to ask, you know, when you look back at your career 50 years from now, whatever, and you have a chance to think about what you want that legacy to be, for just you as a person, but specifically with your career and what you've contributed, what would you want that legacy to be?
That is such a good question. I think that I would want to look back and feel that that I moved from a place of love and kindness and that I was able to create relationships with that lens on, making sure that like I'm showing up in a loving way, I'm finding those types of people too. And so it's just we're creating things that like there's a synchronicity there, you know, there's like this, I wish, I'm not doing a great job of explaining it, but I just know that it has to do with like experiencing like love and joy in my life. You know, looking back and thinking like, oh, I love all those people that I got to work with. You know, I don't want to look back and be like, whoa, whew, glad that's over.
Like, what was I thinking? Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. I just want to be able to look back and be like, yeah, I showed up in like a loving way and and was able to give and receive in a loving way.
I love that. That's great. Well, listen, thank you for taking the time today. Really appreciate it. It was great talking with you.
Yeah. Thanks so much for reaching out. Like this, yeah, this was fun. So thanks.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to PureFlix.com right now to start your free trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
And we are back with more of the PureFlix podcast. And here's the deal. Today's episode actually has a part two. We are going to be talking with Lauren Harper. Now, she is the star of the movie Love is on the Air. If you haven't watched this one yet, it is a lot of fun. It is a rom-com. It's funny. It's entertaining. And we're going to be talking with Lauren about the lessons she learned during filming. She plays a really interesting role. It's this woman named Eve Cassidy. And she's also going to take us behind the scenes of the filming, the fun moments, and really just the things we like to hear about, but we don't always get that chance to kind of peek behind the curtain. She's going to let us do that today. And I'm so excited to welcome Lauren Harper to the PureFlix podcast. Lauren Harper, how are you today?
Hi, Billy. I'm good. How are you?
I am good. It's been a while since we've last connected, but as always, you've been busy and you have a new movie, Love is on the Air, that is streaming right now on PureFlix. Now, this is a really fun film. What was it like for you to kind of dive into this role of Eve Cassidy?
Yeah, so Eve is definitely a little complicated. And I think there are some similarities between me and Eve about being a little wanting to be in control, you know, wanting to be able to build your own plan, like know what's going to happen. And I think what was fun about diving into Eve is having she had to learn how to be vulnerable, right? She had to learn how to let go of her plan and her idea of what was perfect and trust God and trust the situation. And so kind of going through that process, I was like, okay, yeah, I can't control my own plan either. I got to just go with the flow and trust and let things happen the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, and it's always interesting to talk with actors about the similarities and the differences with characters, right? Because I would imagine that when you are preparing to portray this fake character, somebody who doesn't exist, you obviously have a script. It's telling you this is who the person is. These are the circumstances they're in. But you would walk away with lessons like that, I would imagine, in these kinds of circumstances. And the lesson you just mentioned about God's plan, that's a tough lesson because we all want to kind of be in control of our own lives. We want to sort of map it out the way we want to map it out. And in the movie, Eve really struggles with that. And so if people have not seen it, we want them to watch it. If people have seen it, they know what we're talking about here. What was it hard to bring that to life, or were you able to kind of pull from your own experience and the similarities you saw to actually get that lesson moving for people?
Yeah, I mean, I think the part about wanting to be in control was easy to pull from my own life. The part about really letting go is a lesson I still am working on learning. But I think that's what was fun about the character. And I had the most fun filming the scenes where she does let go, right? Where she's enjoying herself. She's opening up a bit. She's not as guarded. So I think that I got to kind of open up with her, if that makes sense, a little bit.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. And I think that's something that audiences don't get a chance to kind of hear a lot about, is what it's like for the actor and the lessons that, you know, we talk a lot about the lessons the viewers are going to take away, which is great. And we'll talk about that with this film. But the lessons that you can take away as that person playing Eve. Now, where did you guys film this movie?
We filmed it in Modesto, California, up north. Yeah, I'd never spent time up there. We spent about a month up there filming, and you know, it was during all the craziness of the pandemic. And I think we all just felt so blessed to have this amazing crew and talent up there in Modesto, pulling this together in such a crazy time.
Yeah. So you guys, yeah, you were filming in the middle of that. And as anyone can imagine, that is chaotic. And you probably had a little bit of normalcy then in the midst of all of the chaos that was happening. What are some of the events? Were there any things that happened while you were filming that were noteworthy or interesting or fun on set?
I mean, I think that Jason, who plays Adam, and Ian, who plays Jamel, are just really, really, and Max plays Biscuit. They're just funny guys, right? So having to spend a lot of time with them in a room, like, funny stuff is going to happen. And they're all musicians. So Ian recorded a song about even Jamel on his piano, and we would sing it together, which was pretty amusing. And trying to think what else. I guess at one point we were filming a really serious scene, and Ian was on pause for a callback for a commercial. And so he put them on pause, film a little bit of the scene, and then like open his phone back up to do his audition. And that really gave me the giggles, because it's just like, you know, as actors, we're always trying to find jobs. We always want to be working. And so you're just, sometimes you're doing crazy stuff like that, doing two things at once.
balancing numerous things, like filming a movie and trying to get a commercial. That's
awesome. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your journey too, because obviously the PureFlix audience has seen you in other projects. This particular project, it's a very big lead role, and that is really exciting. And it's a fun film with a lot of great messaging. But let's dig into your background a little bit. What for you made you want to go into acting? You know, where did this sort of desire come from?
I mean, I'm sure everyone says this, but I wanted to act since I was a little kid. You know, I was always putting on a show, always standing on the kitchen counter, dancing or singing or writing a play that I made my little brother act out with me in front of the family, you know, just crazy, embarrassing stuff. But I just always enjoyed it. I'm not necessarily an extroverted person all the time, but I think that that's like my way of expressing myself and being extroverted is dancing and acting and all of that. And I just couldn't shake the bug. So at one point in time, I had to move out to LA and give it a go.
And one of the things that people might not know about your story is that you also, and we've talked about this in the past, you went and got a master's degree. You want to do more than just be in front of the camera. You know, you want to do that as well, but you know, I don't want to speak for you, so I'll let you kind of tell us the story. But you also are really interested in the business side of Hollywood. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yes, for sure. So when I first moved up to Hollywood and you're auditioning and you're trying to get roles and you're figuring it out, I realized I could do more if I was creating projects myself, right? So it was like, oh, I can act more. I can do this role I want to do. I can create this project if I'm producing it or if I'm one of the producers on it. So I started getting involved on that side of things. And I think, you know, thankful to David White and Tommy Blaze, they've brought me on as both an actress and a producer. I was an executive producer of Love is on the Air. And I think it gives me great business experience to go through that process and a little bit of, you know, personal attachment to the project beyond the days that I'm filming as an actor. And I really enjoy being a part of the whole process from beginning to end.
Yeah. And in the case of Love is on the Air, you know, this is a film, obviously you can speak to multiple sides of it then, right? This is a movie that is a little more personal when you have that sort of back end experience on it. You know, the front end, of course, actors always want to talk about the movie. They want to present the movie. They want to get people interested in it. But this is a film, again, that deals with, you know, I think second chances, but also perseverance. But the big thing is that recognition that God has a plan, and it might not be what our plan is. And sometimes we are going to be knocked over the head and surprised by things. And, you know, that's what I really walked away from with this movie. And it happens in all different ways. In this particular film, it's love, right? That is the thing that kind of pops up and surprises people. What for you is success at the end of this movie in terms of what the audience thinks and feels?
You know, I just want people to be happy. I want to inspire them. I want them to leave watching something that I work on feeling better than they did going in. And I know now in Hollywood, that's not always the case, right? It's like almost sometimes it's good to feel bad. And for me, it's like entertainment should be joyful and inspired. And it should be like, oh, you know, I have things to be hopeful for. I have something to hope for in my own life. So that's what I hope people walk away with it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a rare, again, that's kind of a rare thing. It happens in some projects. And I guess one of the questions that comes to mind as you're talking about that, is it ever difficult? And if so, you know, take us through, as somebody who is looking for jobs in Hollywood, wants to work, wants to act, when there's a dearth of those kinds of roles, is that ever a challenge? Are there times where you have to say, oh, I really would love to do that project, but I can't?
I think definitely. I think if you're in Hollywood right now and you're trying to find roles, like, you know, you want to spread your wings. You want to try different stuff. You don't want to be totally closed-minded, but at the same time, you need to stay true to what you believe and what you're looking out for. And you don't want to look back in 2 years at a project you did and say, oh, I don't want my kids to watch that, or, oh, I don't want to watch that, you know, and that's something that I held on to pretty tightly. And I think, again, getting behind the camera and making your own projects helps with that, right? It gives you the opportunity to kind of open doors that wouldn't be there before and the roles you want to play.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's really interesting because I know for a long time, a lot of Christians would say, oh, don't work in Hollywood, don't work in the media, don't work at universities or education, you know, stay out of those realms because they're so dominated by a secular worldview. And what's intriguing to me about that perspective is that you then sometimes miss out on the fact that, just like you were saying, when you're behind, you know, the camera and not in front of it, you're a voice in that room, right? You're a person who can actually help shape projects. When nobody is there to do that, you know, you can't really expect that you're going to have a different result, right? Now, that doesn't mean you're always going to be able to solve that problem, but you have more control and you can actually help people maybe see a different perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I think the media needs Christians and people just in general that want to inspire people and lift them up and give them hope. Like, staying away from it doesn't solve the problem. That just leaves a hole where so we could be filling it and creating these positive projects. So I think, you know, PureFlix is doing a great job of kind of trying to step in there and make content that fills that void and not back away from it because it's scary, because there's different viewpoints in the industry, but make their own viewpoint and make a positive one.
Absolutely. And there are so many millions upon millions of people in this country who are desperately seeking this kind of content, right? I mean, this is, it's a huge market and it's been an underserved market. And it's amazing to see you dive into that and partnering with PureFlix on this movie. The movie is Love is on the Air. You can watch it right now on PureFlix. Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Billy.
And that brings us to the end of today's PureFlix podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure you tune in next week for another episode of the show. And I've got to tell you, we have some great guests coming up here on the podcast. So stay tuned and make sure you also head over to facebook.com/PureFlix. Go to our page. You can get daily updates, lots of fun content, and so much more. And remember, we are part of the Edify Podcast Network. If you're looking for other Christian podcasts like this one, head over to the App Store and download Edify. It's E-D-I-F-I. We will see you next week for more of the PureFlix podcast.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix and on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix podcast.